In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, Happy New Year. Also, Christ is born. We don't really say Christ is circumcised, so I won't say that. But we do celebrate his circumcision, and I wanted to start my homily with that point. We happen to celebrate Christ's circumcision according to the law on the eighth day, and today is the eighth day after his nativity, in order to show and to reflect on the fact that not only did he fulfill the law, being circumcised according to the law on the eighth day, receiving the name Jesus, which means Savior, but it also shows that he came in the flesh. You can't be circumcised unless you have a body. And later, after Christ began to preach and teach and resurrected and ascended, people said that he never really came in a body. But in fact, he did, and submitted as a human being to the Jewish law, fulfilling all of the law and the prophets through his life. And so that's why we celebrate this feast of the Lord. The second thing that I wanted to talk about was the life of St. Basil the Great. And if there are any Vasilis or Vasilikis or Basils, we had Basil here. I guess he had to leave because of his bus schedule. I want to wish you all many years. Horonyu Pala. St. Basil actually was born during the reign of St. Constantine the Great, who legalized Christianity, who also presided over the First Ecumenical Council in 325. And he wasn't even baptized until he was a young adult. From the time that he was about 15 years old until he came of age, he was actually sent to Athens to study along. This is where he met St. Gregory the theologian and Julian, who was in the line of royalty and later became the emperor of the Roman Empire, and he apostatized after he knew Basil and Gregory in college. But when he was there with them, he was still a believer. And he was an acquaintance with both Basil and St. Gregory. After St. Basil finished his studies, then he and along with his tutor were then baptized. And this was a custom back in those days. They knew that baptism was a one and only deal. You couldn't repeat it. And the parents oftentimes wanted their children to be as pure as possible, and so they would wait until after they went through their teenage and young adult years, and then they baptized them. And so St. Basil was baptized. He, along with St. Gregory, went on St. Basil's property, because St. Basil's family had a lot of money, and they started a little monastic community. And they grew even closer to the Lord and to each other. And then Basil ended up being ordained and consecrated the bishop of Caesarea in Cappadocia, which is Asia Minor. There he organized the monastic life. There are greater and lesser rules for the monastic life that he authored, and that in many respects still stand complete today, still organizing and running the monastic life. This is communal monastic life, not the life of hermits. He also established nursing homes and homes for orphans and hospitals and schools and all kinds of social justice systems in his diocese. He also influenced the Divine Liturgy, which we are celebrating this morning. When you read or hear me read those longer prayers of the Anaphora, which are extremely beautiful and extremely detailed and cover so many different things, you can credit that to St. Basil the Great. He also was a defender of orthodoxy against heresy. Many compared him after his life to a bee who brought honey and truth and virtue to all people around him, but would sting those who distorted the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. He also wrote many treatises on the Trinity, on the Holy Spirit, on lots of different things, and they almost entirely exist in complete text today so that they can be read even in the 21st century. All of this he did only being the Bishop of Caesarea for 10 years, and he died just before his 50th birthday. So when you look at all of the accomplishments of St. Basil, who is rightly titled the Great, he did it all in a very, relatively to our lifespan, short amount of time. He inspires us to use our time wisely, to be productive, to take the gifts and the talents that we have been given and to multiply them in cooperation with God's grace. And that ties into the third and final point that I want to bring. It's not by accident, it's by God's providence, that we celebrate the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets, the coming of the Savior in the flesh, the feast day of one of the greatest saints of our church, St. Basil the Great, on the first day of a new year. And it gives us the opportunity to reflect on the year that we just had, which was a very interesting year, and hopefully we all learned a tremendous amount about ourselves and about the world around us. But it also gives us the opportunity to renew ourselves and recommit ourselves and to take, like, for example, the life of St. Basil the Great and be inspired by it, to make some commitments for the coming year. And hopefully one of those commitments is for each of us to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A second commitment would be for us to look more deeply into our own lives, to really understand the gifts that God has given us, and to take one of the greatest gifts that he has given us, time, which is so finite, so fleeting, so fragile, and to make the most of it. So these are my thoughts about the circumcision, about St. Basil the Great, and about the chance for us to renew ourselves in this coming 2021. With that, I say God bless you, Happy New Year, and Happy Feast Day. Amen.